Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
I mentioned the heartbreak for Donegal after their loss to Kerry in the All-Ireland football final yesterday. We mentioned it at the start of the programme. We will come to some of the texts in a few moments' time. But Off the Ball's football and golf editor Nathan Murphy is with me here on Lunchtime Live. Nathan, very hard not to look at the match yesterday and not have a conversation about the Clifford brothers and David Annan Paddy. How much of Kerry's success this weekend is down to their dynamic?
I think you'd have to say this weekend, a huge amount. This entire season, David is not just the current superstar of Gaelic games. He's in the conversation, if not leading it now, for the greatest player we've ever seen play the game. And his impact on the game yesterday was enormous, not just in the way that he took Donegal players out of it. There was such a focus on him, but it felt like that two-pointer just before half-time was almost the pivotal moment in the game. And it was orchestrated by Paddy, who is the older brother, but is the more of a late developer. David had been on the Kerry squad before Paddy, and it does feel as though they complement each other so well, that the Paddy is the one who puts in the hard yards, who is the passer, has the creativity, who sort of knows without even looking what David's going to do inside. And you know, if you get the ball to David, that David is going to score and he's going to do something spectacular. And, you know, it's remarkable family achievement that, as I say, you have David, who's possibly the greatest player to ever play the game, and Paddy, who is up there at the moment as the best players currently playing the game. So it's not that unusual for Kerry for players to come from the one family, but I think what these two are doing at the moment and the influence they had in the game yesterday was a little bit insane.
Yeah, it was pretty spectacular to watch it, even as a Donegal fan in the stadium. But as you mentioned, they're not the only family sporting dynasty from County Kerry. You have the O'Shea's.
Yeah, the O'Shea's would obviously be the standout name we think of, where you have Paddy as a player and as a manager and as a personality, just one of the most legendary figures the game has ever produced. And then his nephews, Mark and Tomás, two footballers of the year. Dara, their brother, one of the greatest midfielders of all time, six All-Irelands. And there is even a connection to this current squad as well with the O'Shea's, because Paddy's daughter, Suan, is married to Paul Ganey, who is on the Kerry squad. So, yeah, we may not have heard the last of that lineage with the Ganeys and with Suan and with Paul. But yeah, the O'Shea's and the fact that you have two footballers of the year from the same family is pretty remarkable stuff. Yeah. Though they're not alone, because you look at Dublin and the Brogans, mm-hmm. and Bernard Nallon both won the Footballer of the Year award as well. Bernard Sr. was a brilliant footballer with Dublin back in the 70s also. So as you go around the country and you go into certain towns and certain villages, there are quite often the one family that dominates.
Yeah, it's funny that, and not just in GAA, I know you've mentioned it in the Cliffords and the O'Shea's and the Brogans, but Cork had it to some extent too, didn't they?
Yeah, there is. There's, I think, if you look at the O'Halpines, who excelled in many, many different sports, with Sean Ogue leading the light there. If you look across Kilkenny, you know, our own Tommy Walsh with us on Off the Ball, 9 All-Irelands, 9 All-Stars. His brothers were on the Kilkenny team. His sister Grace won 3 Camogie titles as well. I think these families, they always have a slightly different place in people's hearts, because there's a longevity when it goes from one brother to another brother, or if the son following in the footsteps of his father, or a daughter following in the footsteps of their mother. And, you know, people think of the Fenleys and, you know, 3 captains across uncles and nephews, captain in Kilkenny to All-Ireland titles, and hurlers of the year, the Dooleys out of Offaly, the Donlans down in Galway, the O'Shea's in Mayo as well with Aidan and Shamey. Like, these families, they always, I think, maybe just elevate that name to another level. And it's not even just within the sport. I often think actually cross sport mm-hmm. can be more impressive. You talk about Cork, is John Egan, young John, the soccer player, is he Cork or Kerry? I think is always up for a bit of debate. But, you know, John's father, John Senior, was one of the greatest footballers of all time for Kerry in the 70s and the early 80s. And then his son goes on to captain the Republic of Ireland. He goes on to play in the Premier League. You know, John's mother, Mary, was a very good soccer player as well. The Lowrys. So Shane, as we know, one of our greatest ever golfers, Open champion in 2019, Ryder Cup player. So Shane's father, Brendan, kicked 3 points in the 1982 All-Ireland final, maybe the most famous All-Ireland final of all, with Seamus Darby's goal and all of that, and Offaly beating Kerry. But two of Shane's uncles were also on that team alongside his dad, Brendan. So Sean and Mick also played on that team. So Shane, as we know, is a diehard Gaelic Games supporter, comes from very good Gaelic football stock, and has managed to go and achieve an equal, if not greater, level of greatness in his chosen sport.
Yeah, the talent and competitive spirit for sports running in so many families. As a listener here, Nathan's got in touch to say, if you're going to talk about international sports families, the Jordans from Derry, two brothers and a cousin on an Irish Nations Cup team last month, all three world ranked, according to this listener.
Yeah, I think it's there's clearly something there that within, whether it's, you got the sense from listening to Paddy and David last night that they pushed each other on as kids.
Yeah,
and that, as they said, you know,
interview.
They come from Fossa, which, listen, isn't that far from Killarney, but, you know, from a small parish, and that the two of them been outside for hours and hours and hours every single day of the week, just honing their skills in a natural way, not thinking about it. I'm sure dreaming about playing for Kerry, but not thinking we need to work on this or work on this. They're just doing it to go out and have fun and occupy their day and occupy themselves, and both performing at such a high level, they're able to push each other on. And I think when you look at these families, it's sort of inbuilt that they'll work hard. There's obviously a nature versus nurture debate. And yeah, there might be a certain nature element to it
yeah.
for some families in terms of whether it's height or physicality. But I think you look at David and Paddy, and, you know, Paddy's probably, what, 5-6 inches smaller than David. They're not exactly cut from exactly the same cloth. Like, David's a man monster. He's 6'3", 6'4". So I don't know if it's a nature thing there. I think it's a nurture thing yeah. that they're obviously given an environment at home. And then when they went to their club, where they were able to hone their skills brilliantly. And you know, the one thing I think when you look at a lot of, certainly sons or daughters who go and succeed, whose parents are successful, I think the discipline that's instilled with them from being around elite athletes is so crucial. Mm-hmm. I look at the Republic of Ireland soccer team, and you look at somebody like Nathan Collins, whose dad played at a good level, who was on the books of Liverpool when he was a kid. Evan Ferguson, you know, his dad played around the League of Ireland for years. Like, not only are they exposed to football at a very high level, I think they see from their parents the discipline that's required to succeed. So when they get to those teenage years, they know if they want to make it, they're going to have to behave in the way that their parents behaved.
Yeah, when you're talking about sports family dynasties, and you've mentioned obviously so many of them here at home, but there's so many other international sports as well, the Williams sisters.
Yeah, it's hard to look past the Williams sisters, isn't it? And anyone who's seen the movie King Richard would know that there was a driving force behind Serena and Venus. And to have not just one sister, but the two sisters reach the absolute pinnacle of the sport and dominate it for decades. I don't know, again, much like, say, a Tiger Woods and Tiger parenting, whether it's for everybody, that level of pressure being put on young children, but also you could look at it the other way, and the opportunity that was given to the two of them that might not have been given otherwise if they didn't have that drive from their father. The one that always stands out for me, and maybe doesn't come up that often, Andrea, are the Cordas. So I don't think there's a greater sporting family than the Cordas. So you might remember Petr Korda, the tennis player from the 90s, and Petr Korda won the Australian Open in 1998. Now, there was a bit of controversy towards the end of his career, and there was a doping ban, but he was somebody who got to the absolute pinnacle of the men's game in the 90s, played in Grand Slam finals, as I say, won the Australian Open in 1998. So Petr Korda's daughter, Nelly, is the best female golfer in the world. She is a consistent Grand Slam winner. She has dominated the game over the last 4 or 5 years. Her sister, Jessica, is also an exceptional golfer. She's won 6 times on the LPGA Tour. She's been on the American Solheim Cup team on numerous occasions. So both of them are top 5 in the world players, and Nelly's been the best player in the world in recent years. And their brother then, Sebastian, is also a professional tennis player, and he's been up as high as top 15 in the world. So that's a fairly high-performing family right there.
No question about it. Look, really interesting to hear about some of the great family dynasties out there, and particularly here at home, and can't not talk about it after watching the Clifford brothers playing for Kerry yesterday. Just on that, Nathan, I'm interested in your view on this. I mentioned just, you know, the game yesterday and the heartbreak for Donegal.
I thought that's why you got me on, Andrea, to make yourself feel better. Let's get my old man on to tell you about somehow turning up for work the morning after a disappointment like that.
I know, the shouting and the roaring and the cheering and the hoarse voice, I suppose, that goes with it today. But it was interesting. I just mentioned, you know, that the homecoming, obviously, for the Kerry team later on today and a homecoming for Donegal. And I just made the point that I think it's really important that people go and attend that. And I just want to put this listener's text to you because I want to get your view on it. It's from Paul in Dundrum in Dublin, and he says, I don't understand why we celebrate not winning. There shouldn't be any homecoming. Cork were slaughtered by Tipperary and cancelled their homecoming, and rightly so, and well done to them. What message are we sending to children? That failure is to celebrate? And I'm interested in your thoughts on that.
Well, I never like the what message are we sending to children that, you know, failure is unacceptable. I think in a lot of counties, and particularly in a county like Donegal, people want to honour the players. Mm. They understand the effort that these volunteer players have put in, that the dedication that they've put in, the joy that they've given them along the road. And listen, I will get hammered for this as a Mayo person, but like the journey of getting to an All-Ireland and the crack that you and all your fellow Donegal people would have had over the last few weeks, and getting to meet up with people that you only see on big occasions like this, that's all given to you because of what these players have done.
Yeah.
And what they've achieved. And yeah, there's a disappointment, and we will analyse it to death as to what goes on and what went wrong tactically and what they could have done differently and all of that. But I don't think anyone could look at that Donegal group and think they didn't give absolutely everything of themselves. And we know that Jim McGuinness is an incredibly demanding coach, that these players are, and I don't want to use the word sacrifice because I don't think you can ever call it a sacrifice getting to play for your county. They're given an extreme level of commitment, a huge amount of happiness and joy to people who follow them along the way. And I think people like to go and just give them a round of applause and a pat on the back and say, we got you.
Yeah.
And yeah, God, it's hard not to imagine what it'd be like going back up to Ballybuffet or Letterkenny tonight if you had Sam Maguire and the party that'd be going on for the next few days. And it won't be like that. And it's difficult for the players, I'm sure, going out. And I can understand in a way why the Cork players, particularly with what happened in the second half, just didn't want to face it. And, you know, it only takes a couple of people to make a smart comment to a player at the wrong time, and it sort of changes, I guess it changes the vibe of the place. But no, I don't think you're setting an example to the young people of Donegal that failure is acceptable. I think you're going, here, if you go and you work hard and you get in this team, we're going to respect you and we're going to honour you. And yeah, If this is what it's like when we lose, imagine how good it'd be if we win.
Yeah,
so no, I can't agree with that at all.
No, it's a small thank you, I think, for, you know, the, as you say, the days out and the banter and the crack that goes with it, and the opportunity to get to meet people, and the fact that they still won the Ulster Championship 2 years in a row, and to be All Ireland finalists. Any other county would absolutely love the opportunity to have shared in those memories over the last number of weeks. Nathan Murphy, Off the Balls football and golf editor. Nathan, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.